15. 1 Samuel chapter 15. As I have mentioned to you before, First and Second Samuel and First and Second Kings and even First and Second Chronicles, you'll find a lot of the same stories. It's like the four Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You'll find the same time periods, a lot of the same men and women, and a lot of the same stories. Some stories different. There were other things that were written. I love these books, and I've learned a lot over you, still learning. And I want to read a very familiar verse and then go through some in this chapter. And I'm going to start out by reading verse 1. Samuel also said unto Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass." Now, if you'll go on down, in verse 20, "And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offering and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, here it is, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." What I want to talk to us a little bit about this evening is not fully obeying the Lord. Not fully obeying the Lord. When you look in 1 Samuel 15, to me, this is a very serious chapter. And the Lord doesn't just say these things just to be saying them. God has a will for our lives. There are things that God expects, especially when God gives us commands. Now, when we look in this chapter, God is going to give Israel what they have asked for, a king. And he found that king in Saul. That's who they wanted. He was head and shoulders above everybody. In their eyes, he was kingly. But he came from nowhere. He came from nowhere. And you'll get in this chapter, you'll see where Samuel tells Saul how that God had brought him pretty much from nothing and made him the king. And here in this chapter, God is asking Saul to do something as king. And that is to eliminate the main enemy of Israel. Who would be the enemy of Israel as long as they dwelled? And that's Amalek. And do you know why we don't have peace in the Middle East today? It's because Saul disobeyed the Lord. And he did not slay everybody and everything that God said to slay. As far as the Amalekites, he let some live. Now, God, when he talks about Saul obeying. Saul had a warped view of being obedient. He said, I've obeyed. But he hadn't obeyed. He hadn't obeyed. Listen, if you don't do it the way God says to do it, I don't care if you do it 90%. You've not done it the way the Lord said to do it. You've not obeyed. He wants us to obey every word that he tells us. Every word. God wants us to obey. And Samuel, the prophet of God, one of the greatest prophets in the Old Testament, no doubt. Here he is. He anoints Saul as the king. And he tells Saul, he said, God said he remembered what Amalek did, how he laid in wait, how he laid in wait. And he's a type of the flesh, Amalek is. He's the fleshly man. Israel's the spiritual man, and Amalek is the fleshly man. And listen, our fleshly man doesn't need to be left alive. Do you know that? He can't be allowed to live. If he's allowed to live, he's not going to do anything but cause me and you problems. But this enemy is a real enemy of Israel. And he laid in wait when the children of Israel had been delivered from Egypt, came up out of Egypt. Amalek was laying in wait to pounce on them and to overtake them and to take what they had and make slaves. So when God told Saul through the prophet Samuel
to go and smite Amalek in chapter number 3. This was a fulfillment of what God told Moses in Exodus chapter 17, verse 14, 15, and 16. God told them, God told Moses that they were going to utterly destroy the Amalekites and wipe them off the face of the earth. Well, here God has now Saul to do his bidding. And Saul came to the city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. Saul did to Amalek exactly what Amalek did to Saul. He laid in wait. And then you've got to look at how Saul disobeyed God and failed God in verse 8 and 9. In verse 7, the Bible said, "And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur," that is over against Egypt. "And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they utterly destroyed." So here's the picture. If it looked good, as if it could be used for sacrifice, they kept it. But if it was vile and refused to the Hebrew anyway, they slaughtered it. Listen, they weren't doing really anything. They weren't making any real sacrifice right here by doing what God asked them to do. To look at something that they thought, "I could benefit from this," but God said no. "I could benefit from this," but God said no. "I can use this," but God said no. Not this time. Not Amalek. Not any of his people. God said, "Utterly destroy all that they have. Spare them not." Here they are sparing. Sparing. And God said, "Don't spare. Not the men, not the women." Now this may sound heartless. "Not the infant, not the sucklings." You know why? Because they're going to grow, and they're going to come, and they're going to give them problems still. It's in them. It's in them to be the enemy of Israel. And they would always be the enemy of Israel. And but God said, "Do it. Take care of everything. The ox, the sheep, the camels, the ass, everything. Kill everything. Don't leave nothing alive." They took Agag the king, and they took the best of the sheep and the oxen and the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good. "Then came the word of the Lord to Samuel, saying, 'It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king.'" Already, God is repenting in his heart that he ever let Saul be king. God said, "Saul has not performed my commandments," in verse 11. "He hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night." Cried unto the Lord all night. Now, I'll tell you, this is the heart of a prophet and a pastor. When you give people the word of the Lord, and then they go right out and do opposite of what thus saith the Lord, it's a painful experience for a spiritual leader. Do you know that? It is. And you know why it's a painful experience for a spiritual leader? It's because he knows what's coming their way. A lot of things that we get ourselves into, we've done because we've not obeyed the Lord. We've not done what God asked out of us to do. And so Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning. And it was told Samuel. And Saul came to Carmel. And he had gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul. And Saul said, "Blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord," at the end of verse 13. "I have performed the commandment of the Lord." How blind can he be? You know, there are people sitting in Baptist churches that think they're spiritual, that think they're serving the Lord, and yet the man of God sees them going exactly opposite against what thus saith God in his holy word. Do you know how painful that is, to see a self-deception? To see people that are ignorant in obeying God's truth? I mean, it hurts, especially, listen, when you preach on something and then they go right out that weekend and do it. As if to say, spit on what you say. It's not what I'm saying. It's not my words that you're kicking against or spitting against. It's God's words. Whether it's me or anybody else, it's God's holy word that we're kicking against. He was in worse shape than he thought he was doing the will of the Lord. He come right back to where Samuel, when he saw Samuel, "Praise the Lord, brother, I've done the commandment of the Lord." And there Samuel is, grieved in his heart, knowing he's not done the commandment of the Lord. He's not done the commandment of the Lord. Before you change your position in life, let me tell you something. Make sure you're not going against God's word. Before you refuse to do something, make sure God hadn't told you to do it before you refuse to do it. Amen. Because we're living in a time that people are starting to refuse more and more to be obedient to the word of the Lord. We're seeing it more and more. I see it more and more. They refuse to acknowledge the word of the Lord. Even in our day, even what is the word of the Lord? You got people in King James Bible churches. Are you listening to me? That act like the King James Bible ain't God's word. That every other thing is just as good as that. Have they not been hearing what God has said? Have they not been listening to anything that they've been taught? I mean, it's a fearful thing. If you don't believe that this is God's holy word every bit, then where is it? If this is not it, then why am I preaching it? Why are we here if we cannot trust every word in this book? And if other books are just as good, I mean, and though they are saying something else altogether, it's no wonder people think they're obeying the Lord. They're hearing something else altogether. And let me tell you this. I thought about this. You know what other versions of the Bible do? And a lot of these people that they want to read after them listen to me. It's all to make your flesh feel better. God's word never will make your flesh feel better. The carnal man can't receive the spiritual things of God. Are you listening to me? The natural man, that carnal man, He's not going to feel good when God's holy word is preached. But people, they want to find something today that's going to make that natural man feel better about himself. Amen. God have mercy when they just need to obey. If they'd just obey what thus saith the Lord. Amen. Just obey. But Saul said, I have performed the command of the Lord. Samuel said, what meaneth this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowering of the ox which I hear? I remember Brother Hanley Milby years ago preached a message on this. Have you killed all the cattle? And he said that's what God told Saul through Samuel. Kill everything. And he come back and he could hear them cows low and moo. And he could hear them sheep bleating. Bah. I've done the command of the Lord, Samuel. Well, then why am I hearing ox and sheep? You didn't kill everything. You've not done everything. Everything that God asked you to do. God asked you to slay everything concerning Amalek. Everything concerning Amalek. Now here, I want you to notice the language of Saul in verse 15. Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. Why didn't he say unto the Lord my God? Because he knows in his heart his relationship ain't right with God. He told Samuel, he said, they're going to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, Samuel. If he had a strong relationship, he would have said, Samuel, we're going to sacrifice unto the Lord my God. So his relationship with God is already broken in fellowship. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, in verse 17, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? Saw you as nothing. And God made you king. You as little in your own eyes. Humble. And God made you king. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? In other words, Samuel said, Saul, you couldn't wait to get your hands on the spoil. You flew upon it. You did evil in the sight of the Lord. Some people can't wait, it almost seems like, to disobey the Lord. They hear what God says, and they can't hardly wait to get away from the man of God and the house of God to go do what they're going to do. Saul said to Samuel, yeah, I have obeyed. He's refuting what the man of God's telling him right here. He's telling him, no, you didn't. Yeah, I did. Can you see how he is talking to the man of God, to the prophet of God? Lord, have mercy. I couldn't imagine talking to Samuel that way. Yeah, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone the way that the Lord sent me and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. In his own words, he's saying that he don't even see it, that he's disobeyed the Lord. Is he that blind? But the people took the spoil. Oh, really? Thought you were the king. See, you can't blame somebody else over what you do. And I can't either. Well, it was them. And if they hadn't have done it, then the people took it. All he had to do was, as king, say, God said not to touch this stuff. Kill it. And they would have done it. But no, he was as much in on it as he could be. He tried to blame it on his people. And then Samuel, this is the part I wanted to get to. Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Do you think God would be more pleased with all these burnt offerings more than you obeying His voice? What, do you think He could pay God off? That would make it better? Well, God, I know You said kill everything, but I thought You'd want... No, God all told Him from the beginning, I don't want it. I don't want none of it. Kill it all. Kill it all! I don't want anything that Amalek has. Nothing that Amalek has had his hands on. I don't want it. Listen, we are saved by grace through faith. This gospel we preach is by faith. We are saved by faith. We are justified, sanctified by faith. We walk by faith. It's all by God's grace. Listen, God doesn't want anything that our flesh could hand to Him. There's no reason to try to justify it. Here's what He said. God's truth to be obeyed. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. To obey is better than sacrifice. To obey is better than sacrifice. And to hearken, that means hear it and do it, than the fat of rams. For rebellion, and that's a bitterness, a disobedience. Rebellion is as the sin. And when he said is as the sin, he means you bear the shame of. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. To be rebellious, to not obey the Lord, you bear the shame as if it were witchcraft. Divination. And you know what that is? That's the practice of trying to foretell the future or to try to discover some hidden knowledge using supernatural powers. So what was Saul doing? I know what God said, but I think if we could take this best of Amalek and keep the king alive and sacrifice this to the Lord. Well, he knows the future better than God. He thinks God's going to somehow bless him for that. That rebellion was as the sin of witchcraft. that rebellion. I'm not talking about, listen, God's people that are saved are continually growing. And our God is a God of great grace and long suffering. And it's not like the Bereans who, when they heard, they took the scripture and searched whether it be so. They wanted to know what they were hearing was the truth of God's word. But when they knew in God's word it was true, they did it. To obey. We're so used to God's grace that we pass many things that God has asked out of us. Because we don't see it as necessary. It's not something I want to do or to have to sacrifice. I don't want to have to sacrifice it. I don't want to have to give that up. It's the same that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. I don't know how plainer to get that. And stubbornness to carry on in an unyielding, obstinate manner. Persistently. Stubbornness. Like someone that's fixed in their course and purpose. I'm not going to do it. No matter what that preacher or that teacher says, I'm not going to do it. Fixed. You know, David, when he said, "My heart is fixed," that was on the spiritual end. It was fixed to obey the Lord. This stubbornness is the exact opposite. It's somebody that is, their heart is fixed to not obey the Lord. Their heart is fixed to not obey the Lord. You know, there's a great debate on whether or not Saul was even saved or not. Why? Because of verses just like this. He had a, listen, Saul was constantly, he could not perform the will of the Lord. He was constant. Brother Mike, am I right? He was constantly going against what God said. Constantly. Obedience, children of God, is a sign of salvation. It's an evidence. It's there. In the New Testament, he talked to us about being as obedient children. As obedient children. Stubbornness is as iniquity. That's that wickedness. A wicked act or a wicked thing. Stubbornness, to have that kind of stubbornness, fixedness inside of you, is as iniquity. That stubbornness is as having a wicked heart or committing a wicked act. Stubbornness and idolatry. That's the worship of an object as God or devotion to something. There are people that are more devoted to the world than they are God and His church. That's a good sign somebody's lost. they're more devoted to the world and the lust of the flesh than they are God's word and the church. They have more of a desire. They get more. They're more excited about those things than they are the things of God. It's a clear picture whether somebody's lost or saved. Stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. They despised, they refused it. He rejected the word of the Lord. He knew what Samuel said. He knew what God said through Samuel. Yet when it come down to kill that kid, he didn't kill him. When it come down to kill all of the, he didn't do it. He rejected the word of the Lord. He had a choice, do it or not. Do it or not. Do it or not. And he rejected the word of the Lord. See, when you start looking at it in the way God sees it, God wanted him to know he rejected God's word. See, it's not just letting God's word slip. It's rejecting it. He rejected it. He rejected the word of God. And he said, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Oh, I'm sorry now. He wasn't going to be king. Oh, now he's ready to say, I've sinned. I've transgressed. His repentance was not Bible repentance. He was arguing with the man of God just a few verses back. I've obeyed the Lord. I've done everything God wanted me to do, Samuel. Samuel's just telling him what God said. You rejected the word of the Lord. God's rejected you from being king. And then, I've transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Why, he wasn't feeling that way several verses back. Suddenly now, now that it's affecting what? His flesh. He's not so concerned. I don't think Saul was really concerned that he broke the commandment of God. He's concerned he's not going to be living like a king anymore. You know, sometimes the only time that people, they really get emotional with God is when things go to getting hard on their flesh. But until then, they're going to pet that flesh. They're going to obey the Lord. They're going to obey what they want to obey. That's what he did. He obeyed what he wanted to obey. Only part. If you look in this chapter, let me give you this and I'm about done. You'll find, and I didn't pick this up nowhere, it's like God just gave me this thought, the things that were rent in Saul's life. His heart was rent, divided from the word of God, obeying it, not obeying it. Then he grabbed Saul's garment and rent it. That's a holy thing. Like the mantle of God's man is a picture of his anointing. It's just like when he ripped that, he's tearing at the anointing of Samuel. Anyways, that was a thought to come to my mind. But Samuel told him, he said, God's rent the kingdom from you. So his kingdom was rent. And then last, what Saul held on to for whatever purpose, that from Amalek, Agag the king, Samuel hacked him, rent him in pieces. He had to do that. Because why? Because Saul didn't do it. His life is just a life rent in pieces. A life tore all to pieces because he simply would not obey the Lord. Obeying the Lord, just doing God's will. Listen, most times God's not asking us to do something like this. Could you imagine Abraham having to go and circumcise his sons? Cut that flesh away. That's a hard thing to do. And see, this was a hard... Anytime God wants you to cut that flesh completely off, that's a hard thing to do. Because the flesh, it does not want to die. It doesn't say it, but I'm sure that king begged. There's people begging. There's people saying, Saul, look! Some of these sheep are better than the ones we've had. Begging to keep that alive. It's sad. Here, the last thing. Look at the relationship that was hacked into. Down in verse 33, and Samuel said, as the sword hath made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among the women. And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house to Gibeah of Saul. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. I've got written in my Bible, so sad to think that the man of God wasn't in his life no more. No connection to the God of heaven through the prophet Samuel. You know, when Samuel died, Saul continued. He went to that witch in Endor, you remember? You know what he was trying to do? He was trying to raise the spirit of Samuel from the dead to get advice from him. How messed up one man's life could be. Why? And you look at his life, he looks religious. I mean, he's the king of Israel, or at least he thinks he is. He had a relationship at one time with the man of God. Now he doesn't. Keeping a relationship, listen, I'm not just saying it because I'm the preacher here or the pastor, but I'd say it anywhere to any group of believers. Keeping a relation, a good relationship with the man of God is a positive thing for your life. To have someone to help guide you in God's will, to pray for you, that'll help you go in the direction the Lord wants you to go in. I know truly God's men, the ones I know that I talk to constantly, one thing that they heard over the most, they say, Brother Mark, if I could just get some of these families just to do what God wants them to do. That's what they want. You just to do what God wants you to do. To get in God's will, do what God wants you to do. Amen. All right, I'm done. Thank you for being here.